And this deal between the U.S. and Cuba to reinstate diplomatic relations could be the beginning of a new revolution on the island, a digital revolution. According to the White House, only 5% of Cubans have access to the open internet. As part of this deal, that could change quickly. NPR's Arthi Shahani reports.
Maribel Fonseca is a professional, a teacher, and she says she has never visited the internet.
No conozco.
She doesn't know it. She's in Miramar, Cuba, and we're speaking over a miserable and very expensive phone connection. A few of her students have been online.
Yo trabajo en una escuela que
she says, I work in a school where members of the military and foreigners and top people in the country are. They use it, they go shopping, they see things I haven't seen. What she wants to see most is her family. Fonseca's sister has been in the U.S. for more than a decade. Her voice lights up at the idea of video chatting together. She says, of course. I can guarantee if I could have internet at home, I'd talk to my sister every single day. I wouldn't miss a minute of her life. I love her so much. Miami Cuban Ideal Oscari says students back home ask people abroad like her for the latest research papers and even for local news. State-owned media doesn't report reliably on crime or corruption. Underground bloggers leak stuff out.
Sometimes I have actually found out things that are happening in Cuba before some of my family members have.
Cuba has just one government-controlled telecommunications company. This week's announcement could mark the end of that monopoly and pave the way for competition and growth, capitalism style.
I don't know that the Castros are ready for an information revolution, but they're a couple old men.
Alec Ross was a senior advisor on tech issues in the U.S. Department of State.
They're going to die sooner than later, and I think that they're trying to salvage something.
Ross says Cuba won't just light up with bandwidth. The government has to start a bidding process. Mobile operators, presumably foreign-owned, will buy leases and build networks, putting in hundreds of millions of dollars in capital. That's step one.
Step two is determining and seeing whether, once Cubans actually go online, are they allowed free expression, or is the internet more like it is in Iran?
It's a hot question, though, interestingly, it's also somewhat peripheral. In plenty of countries, Ross says, government control has a chilling effect on online speech. But if a wireless signal is there, citizens will use it.
They just often aren't talking about politics in ways that would anger their central governments.
U.S. tech companies like Google, Facebook, and Cisco are watching how commercial policy shapes up. Telecom giants Verizon and AT&T have not stated publicly if they're going to bid for the Cuba contract. Kent Engomanson with the European telecom operator Telenor says these companies can play a huge role in keeping the internet free. If and when a government asks for a secret surveillance deal, they can say no.
You have your relationship with your customers, and that is built on the trust that you have with them.
Engomanson says he's happy for Cuba, and the internet is a human right. Arthi Shahani, NPR News.